Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat, come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what isn't bread and your labor on what doesn't satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you'll delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and don't return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It won't return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. May God bless the reading of his holy and infallible word. Let's turn to this passage of scripture that was read in your hearing, the opening verses of Isaiah chapter 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat, come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what isn't bread and your labor on what doesn't satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. We are being invited in these words to a banquet. There are many invitations going out to parties and feasts, but here is the best of all, because it's not just a picture, it is a great reality. The Son of God has prepared for us a feast. And the invitation is given. It's a promiscuous invitation. That is, none is accepted from it. It is to anyone and everyone, to men who sleep on the pavement or in shop doorways. This invitation goes to poor, penniless people without hope, who are hungry night and day. This invitation goes forth. Come, he says, 3-4 times in these opening verses this invitation is given. And it would be folly to ignore such a glorious invitation. Why are you spending money on what can't satisfy you? And here is something of the greatest delight. Here it is in abundance. And it is here tonight because Jesus is here tonight. Because he has said, when two or three gather, and we are more than that, he will be there. He will be present in the midst. And he is the one who is speaking in these words to us. And he can be found here and now. And the promises of mercy and abundant pardon and a brilliant future. You will go on with joy, verse 12, not just occasional bursts of Christmas fun. You will go out at peace because he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So what is this feast? And what are the courses that are being offered to us on this heavenly menu? Well, the first course is of an extravagance of forgiveness, a complete pardon to all who come. God magnifies his mercy. No matter the number of our sins, sometimes our consciences are overwhelmed because of our acts of sin and rebellion, the coldness of our hearts, and the absence of our devotion to God. And we are overwhelmed by the sheer horrendousness of our transgressions and the depths of our degradation. And so often continually sin says to us, look for someone with so many sins. Look for someone whose sins are so stained, ruby crimson. For you there can be no hope. There's a great gospel, but that gospel has its limits. And what you need is an unbelievable deal of mercy, an extravagance of forgiveness. But this is the first course. This is the hors d'oeuvre that God has offering to all who will come to him. That there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sins. And though our sins can be as red as crimson, they can be made as white as snow. The sheer number of them, the weight of them, the indefensible quality of our lives, nothing but extravagant grace from heaven can forgive our needs. Our lives so provocative, our pride so abominable, our behavior so ungodly, our religion so inconsistent. We can be impaled upon our own despair, and the devil will say to us, no hope for you. The burden for you is too great. You need amazing grace. But the gospel then immediately speaks, and it says that is exactly what we have, an abundance of pardon. And really, I need to get it through to my conscience and your consciences as well, that no matter how numerous, how awful our sins have been, I must believe that before God, God's grace and the blood of Jesus Christ's atonement, and his place instead of mine under the judgment and wrath of a sin-hating God, that all this is perfectly adequate, that I will get what I need most of all, that I will get a feast of forgiveness, that I will know an extravagance of loving kindness that will cover all my sins. I need to know that. I need to hear it. I need to be persuaded by the word preached and the Spirit applying it to my heart. That is what God is offering to all who will come to him tonight. However appalling your record may be, however guilty you feel for the people that you have hurt, and how you wonder where they are tonight, and how it is with them, and how is it with you? Have you sought and found pardon for what you have done? Here is God's great word, the first course on the menu, of this great feast to which we are invited to come is pardon and extravagance of mercy for our sins. And then the second course that comes to us is the glorious status that God confers upon us, what he does to the sinner who obeys and who comes to him. And that again seems great impudence for me to declare to you. Such great prodigality, such great extravagance, because not only does God take a sinner and forgive him and declare him to be guiltless, and for God to assure us that he has nothing against those who come, that he acquits them and vindicates them. That is a great gospel. All our guilt remitted, all our sin overlooked, all the awful record deleted so that there is not a stain left. That is a great gospel. But God goes beyond that. God takes the sinner and he adopts him. He brings him into his own family. He makes us sons and daughters of the living God. The judge doesn't just look at us and say, "You are now free to go." He says, "Take my name, come and live with me, and I will care for you and look after you for time and eternity. Behold the amazing gift of love the Father has bestowed on us, the sinful sons of men, to make us sons of God." The God who has every right to condemn us, whose forgiveness is an extravagance of grace, goes beyond that, and he makes us his sons and daughters. He gives us the right to run into his presence and call him Father, and to see him smiling and smiling at us, and then to receive from him all that a father gives to his children: his provision, his preservation, his protection, his pedagogy. He makes us heirs of God. He makes us joint heirs with Christ. He says to us, "Can you believe it? That you have the same rights, you have the same entitlements, you have the same inheritance as my only begotten Son." That's what God says, and that is what God does. I believe that some of you aren't tuned in. You're not singing from the same hymn sheet that I am. You don't believe this wonderful news that I have brought you this evening. You are saying to me, "Are you saying that in the church of God we are all firstborn? That in the church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven, we have the rights of the Son of God? We have the rights of the firstborn, of primogeniture?" And that is exactly what God says. He makes us his sons. He makes us his daughters. He makes us members of his family. He gives us the right to all that God has, what he has in store for us. God becomes our inheritance. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. We occupy the same relationship with God as the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. It's an extravagance of a feast. We are God's righteousness in Christ. We are related now when we have come and received forgiveness from God. We have also received from him all that Jesus Christ receives. He is seated at the right hand of God. We are seated in the heavenlies in Jesus Christ. There is this extravagance of the one who is inviting us. God doesn't simply say, "Acquit him, let him go, give him his freedom." God doesn't say that only. He says, "Bring him home, sit him down at the table, feast him with a feast of sonship, give him my name, give him all that is entitled to him. That is extravagant. Surely that is the second course in the menu. The first then, it's forgiveness and pardon for all our sins. The second is then the adoption into his family as his son. And finally, the third course in the menu is God's provision of all that is necessary for us in time and in eternity. The great words of Paul in the letter to the Philippians, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." What expectations do you have from your God? I find many Christians have little expectations, and many people who come to the services and are not yet Christians, they have little expectations too. They think, well, I'll become a Christian and then I'll go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life. Is that all? Is that all you are thinking of? You expect a little competence? You expect a little adequacy and sufficiency? You expect fair rations and a good survival kit? But here's this man, Paul, and he's in a Roman prison. And he's saying that his experience of God's grace is that God is meeting all his needs, that he does far beyond his worthiness and far beyond his own expectations, that God, his heavenly Father, will support him according to his competence, not according to our wants. We receive from God according to our parents. We receive from our parents according to what they're able to give us, what they're able to provide for us. And so we expect from God what God is able to provide for us, from his glorious riches in Jesus Christ, that God will deal with us as those joined to Jesus Christ, that he will reward us, not as individual men and women with our different needs, but as those now one with Christ, and he will bless us as those in Christ. He will give us what the cross of Jesus Christ deserves. He will give us everything his Son merits by his obedience to his Father. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Can you believe that God in Christ says those words to you too? Isn't that one of the great lessons of Psalm 23? The Lord's my shepherd, so I won't be in want. I'm never going to be in need. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. My cup isn't half full, it runs over. He prepares a feast for me, not just when I'm with the security of my family, but when I'm surrounded by enemies, he prepares a feast for me. God's people are quick to tell us of their trials and tribulations, but that's not the way it has been, nor that it should be. But he's a God who has blessed us in Jesus Christ. His goodness, his mercy, his forgiveness, his status in making us his sons. Look at your life. Look how it's been with you. All the best things of all. Your dear parents, perhaps. The children, your health, your long life, the gospel of Jesus Christ that you heard, not in word only, but in power and with the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. And these things came to you, and you are now new creations in Jesus Christ. This apostle says these words about God supplying his needs, and he was in a prison cell, and he was under a threat of being crucified or put to death. He's saying, it's all right. God is meeting all my needs. all my real needs. And that's the testimony of every Christian here tonight. God has met my needs. God has met with me in times of trial, in times of discouragement. He has met all my needs. And so this is a God who gives us strength for every trial. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's no river I can't ford. There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no burden that's too heavy for me to bear. There's no news that's too bad for me to hear. Because always, ever, there will be a Savior who will be with me, who will strengthen me for it all. You know, sometimes our hair gets white because of the trials that we are passing through. So sometimes God makes us tremble and tremble and tremble because of what He permits for His own dear children. And yet there, on the threshold of us being broken, of it being unmanageable and unachievable, there God says, I'll give you strength. Do not fear. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you won't walk alone. I will be with you. That is the one. So those are the three courses that make up this great feast that God is inviting you to tonight. An extravagance of mercy, an extravagance of status, and an extravagance of provision. So now, two questions. How do I get to this feast? How much does it cost? Will I have enough to pay for it? And there we are, and we think like that because our conscience is saying to us, but you're a sinner. And we are saying, but you've told me of what God is promising. I've heard tonight of God's great input into my life. How am I expected to match that? How can I make a connection with this mercy and this status giving and this all providing God? He gave His only begotten Son. What have I got to give to Him? Listen. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That was what He did. That whosoever believes, come to Jesus Christ, trust in Jesus Christ. That's what we are told in Scripture. He gave His Son, and I am to respond, I am to match that by trusting in Jesus Christ and His promises, whosoever believes. And so I'm giving my imperfect faith. I'm giving my inconsistent faith. I'm giving my weak faith. You mean that's all that He gives His Son? And I give my little trembling atom of faith and I lay it at His feet. That's what He says, without money, without price. That's what Isaiah says. All the fullness He requireth is to see your need of Him, and this He gives you. You know, we want to go to Jesus Christ. We want our Christian religion to be one of self-made men and women. That's what we want. We want always our heads to be held up high. You come, He says. You come without a price, because you can't afford to buy this with any money or any sacrifice that you make. You come. You come without money. It's a free offer, utterly free, that He makes. And the second question that we ask is, who is this feast for? And we say, well, it must be for serious people. It must be for sensible people and moral people and renewed people and exercised people and religious people and reformed people. It must be. I can't gate crash this feast because I'm not like that. And we've got to give up all that thinking when we hear the gospel offers of Jesus Christ. Because our problem on the high ground and the middle ground and the low ground is our pride. That's the barrier stopping you coming to this feast. You want to earn it. You want to qualify for it. You want to deserve it in some way or another. What kind of person do you think will come to Jesus Christ tonight? And I say to you, the answer to that question is just the person who says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, but that I am bidden, and I am welcome at the footstool of Jesus Christ. We want to go to God and we want our blots dealt with. We want the darkness, the stains that seem to us so indelible on our souls and on our inmost beings. We want them dealt with. We want them made white. We want some stain remover that can take away the dark stains that mar our souls. And I'm saying to you, if you can think of, if you can imagine that you can remove those stains yourself, or that there is some man, or that there is some organization, or some function, or some ceremony that can take those stains away, you will never come to my Savior. You have a dark spot, let me tell you. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. So you need sight and riches and healing of the mind because you are poor and wretched and blind. But you come. You come tonight to Jesus Christ. And don't say you can't come, that you are poor and wretched and blind and unworthy, and that you won't come until you have cleansed that spot yourself. The great gospel hymn says, all that I need in thee, I find it. It's in Christ I find what I need. I'm asking tonight, those of you who've never come to this great extravagance of a feast, I'm asking you, as heaven is watching, as Jesus Christ is looking at you now in this place, are you hearing the voice of Jesus Christ speaking to you now? Are you saying, I'm going to come just as I am, because you invite me, because you tell me to come? I know one day you're going to meet God, and there's a day of evaluation that's coming. And in that evaluation, as you stand before the Creator of this universe and the giver of all that you have, and God is going to say to you, are you a sinner? Did anyone tell you you were a sinner? Say yes. Did anyone tell you that
Jesus Christ, my Son, is the Savior of the world. And you say, yes, they did. Did he ask you to come to him? Did he plead with you? Did he say that word? Come. You come. You come tonight. You come to Jesus Christ. Coming to him is a movement of your heart and your will as the Holy Spirit takes the words that you heard preached and he applies them and energizes your heart and moves you and draws you to his Son. There is no way that you can come without that. God will say to you, did that man invite you to the feast? Did he invite you to the Lord Jesus Christ? Did he plead with you to come to Christ? Yes, he did. So what was your response? Did you go to the feast? Did you receive forgiveness and pardon? And the plenitude, the riches of God's provision. Did you? You've heard about this feast, the gospel feast, this great picture of life in Christ. Lay it to your conscience. Think about it in your mind. Speak to the loneliness of your soul. And you respond by saying, just as I am. Without any plea, but that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for me. And that you say, come now, come. It's been a long time. You've hesitated for so long. You come. You come just as you are. To me, just as I am, a loving Heavenly Father, a gracious, smiling Savior, a powerful, life-giving Spirit. You come to the one true God, just as you are. You say in your heart now, I've got to come. I must come. I must come. You've conquered me. And I'm coming. I'm coming. Please receive me. He stands at the door and he knocks. And all who hear his voice, he enters in, becomes our Lord and becomes our Savior. Oh, may you come. Lord God, bless your word to us now, we pray. Grant that those favored men and women amongst us who've seen tonight once again that how they need great forgiveness for their sins and how they need a new status of being a child of God, a son of God. They need you as their Father and how they need all their needs met in Jesus, the need of instruction and knowledge in his teaching, the need of cleansing and forgiveness as the Lamb of God's great sacrifice, and as the need of protection and leadership all through our lives as our Shepherd King. And we come, oh Lord, we can't go on another day, another week, another year without him. Please have mercy on us and enable us this night to begin new life in Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.